Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction again to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. This is episode 14, and in 14 I'm going to try to release 14 and 15 about the same time. 14, I'm gonna do some current news. I'm gonna go over some questions I've been asked. Yes, Horace has an email address you can reach us at, and we moved to a new website. I was only supposed to do a few programs, and I assumed they would be put up on Whitaker Online or Bugs, which they were linked to, but we kept on getting requests and people liking certain things, so I kept on doing them. But I wasn't really supposed to be the one doing this. Me doing this, or you hearing my voice, is kind of just a luck of the draw accident. But that's okay. I'll talk about anything you want me to talk about. But right now we're talking about, I've been talking about this war with Iran. And obviously that's shaping up. I've been talking about this. In the last one, I talked about our war, the oil groups and so on and so forth, and the connection, the ancient connection between Iraq and Afghanistan. There is an ancient connection there. There's an ancient European connection. There's also an ancient European connection to Iran. But there's a modern connection too. And I didn't go into that because it was, it's the whole top of this beginning of this program. I want to talk about, I'm going to talk about our enemies. The biggest problem we have is what you think of as Zionism. And Zionism, I'm not talking about the ism, I'm talking about the control groups, which are basically Jewish supremacists, or they take orders from them. What's the difference? What's the difference between a Jewish supremacist or a Jewish nationalist that takes orders from them? I don't have a problem with Jewish nationalism or Jewish supremacism in Jerusalem. But if you're taking over all of Anglosphere and you're heading us to war, that's a big problem. And it doesn't matter if you're an oil executive in Anglosphere. It doesn't matter if you're. It doesn't matter what even government agency is in. You're in. You're going to come across these Zionists on some level, and you know the. It seems like you don't get to be in that crew. You have to be a Zionist. It doesn't matter whether it's John McCain or George Bush. You have to do their bidding. You have to play me a Jew rabbit. You a Jew rabbit. Or, whatever, or take orders from them. And that's one of the problems for a lot of Christians in Anglosphere, specifically America. You know, if you're playing me a Zionist, you a Zionist, well, the people you take orders from are basically Hebrews. And that's a big problem. So when this war happens, understand that it is a broader network that's brought it to you. Because they don't have a way out. Yeah, they have to go to war, but if you run around at war with everybody, eventually you end up with war with everybody. From what it looks like to the rest of the planet, Iran is pretty much ready. Yeah, they're ready. Civilian power plants. They not only have civilian power plants, they have civilian power plants deep underground, which aren't really civilian power plants, are they? No, they're very, very ready. He knows his enemies. The interesting thing about Ahmadinejad is that he always says nice things about European children. He's the only world leader, non-European. In fact, I've never even heard European leaders outside of Putin say nice things about Germans, say nice things about European children in America. You know, Ahmadinejad went out of his way at the UN to say nice things about European children in America and all of Anglosphere, that there was a network, and he's right. He's right about that network to a certain extent. But the biggest problem is the Zionist and the Christian Zionist, because if you want to be you want to negotiate that deal with that oil meeting or whatever, they're going to put their crew in. Their crew is not necessarily U.S. supremacists, but it's pretty much interchangeable, isn't it? If you're going me a Christian Zionist, you a Christian Zionist, well, you might as well be me a Jew rabbit, you a Jew rabbit. That's the antithesis of this. So I don't care about Christian that. I don't care about any ism as long as you put white rabbits first. You know, the Christian that I think is interesting is that brother Nathaniel at Real Jew News. Now, he's a real Jew. Yeah, he's a Hebrew. He's a Hebrew. He's an Orthodox Christian. Yeah, a lot of Christians in America have never been to Eastern Europe, and they don't understand that in Eastern Europe, it doesn't matter whether you're in the Orthodox or even the Catholic Church. They don't worship Jews. They worship Jesus. There's a big difference. Jesus never said anything about going to war for Israel or blowing up the planet. You know, everyone makes fun of these little national socialists and whatever, showing themselves up on TV, and they always make them look idiots or let them run their mouths. And some of them, I don't know any of them. I don't even know what to say about them, but they're a far cry from what is probably out there. But one thing they're not doing, I mean, you take the most hardcore dealing steel type group of the white nationalist, resist.com or whatever, none of them are advocating blowing up the planet. You know, Christian Zionist and their Jewish, basically Jewish supremacist masters, all their control groups, that's what they are. They're going to be Hebrews. And they're not going to be your local rabbi who doesn't care. They're going to be your local rabbi that is the real deal, or something way above that. It only takes a handful to control a network, to control a grid of Christian Zionists all the way across the country, and for that matter, it only takes a handful to control them across the planet, does it? But they're not really, and they've caused a problem. They've caused a big challenge. But so when you get into these. The oil company, or it's for oil, or it's for, that's all partially true, but you're dealing with networks within that. And those networks are generally playing me a Jew rabbit, you a Jew rabbit. They're not necessarily playing it like Abe Foxy Foxman, right? They're not necessarily playing that. But if you're playing me a Christian Zionist, you a Christian Zionist, you're doing the same thing. There's no difference. And they've become a problem. Now, what is Christian Zionism? Christian Zionism is, you know, they believe a wide collage of things, but there's a far cry from Christianity, as far as any Christian's concerned. You should get that brother Nathaniel to come speak to them or something. But what they are doing is they don't have a healthy white rabbit identity, and they're diffusing their organic identity into an abstract principle, aren't they? And this causes problems. This is way worse than even capitalism, because if you walk into the, and I've been at the meetings in certain financial sectors with some of these guys, they're not capitalists first, they're Zionists first, which means they're Jewish supremacists first on some level, right? Or Jewish national, what's the difference? That's fine if you're in Israel, but you're not in Israel. And this is a big, big network, and they've caused a great, out of all the wordisms, this one is the biggest disaster. Yes, it's the biggest disaster. They're about ready to cause one of the biggest wars ever, and it's not going to go good. It's not going to be what they think, because it appears that they're very, very ready for them. So just remember who's to blame for this. It's not your local. It's not the Eastern Orthodox Catholics who says, you know, that post-Vatican II stuff, we got to name our enemy. Yeah, people think capitalism's dangerous. Well, the capitalists that are dangerous are the ones that are Zionists first. Ron Paul always claims free enterprise. You know, the guy seems like a nice guy. He seems very personable. Ron Paul is not going to war for Israel. Ron Paul's not going to bomb Iran. He's not going to bomb Iran for Israel. And newsflash, it may not go the way most of you think it will with the Taliban, Obama. Yeah, he's not John McCain. John McCain was the dangerous one. Bomb, bomb, bomb Iran. This is going to be pretty wild stuff. But so the problem is Zionism. It's a big problem because, again, you have these white rabbits. They are Europeans. These indigenous white rabbits of Europe, they diffuse their organic white rabbit identity into a synthetic and abstract construct. And that is Zionism. And then they put that in front of everything, which means they're basically told what to do by Hebrews. And that's not good, obviously. This will be the ism, the end-all isms, when this one goes down. But wherever you're hearing this, you can always go to the main site. There was a bunch of link sites and whatnot. There's a main site, whiterabbitradio.net. That's whiterabbit, R-A-B-B-I-T. Radio, radio.net, www.whiterabbitradio.net, and you can always download the latest stuff from whatever, from all the podcasts, and you'll at least hear my voice and all the latest talking points and whatnot. But wherever you're hearing this, know that that website is now solid out there. It's out there, so you don't, you know, a lot of guys are getting these from different sources and whatnot, but you can always go there and pick up something. We're going to transition, and I'm going to talk about, because I got to ask some questions, I'm going to include these questions on 14 about Dr. Duke, Dr. David Duke, and I'm Don Black, and some different stuff. I'm going to talk about some stuff I got asked about, POWs and Hal Turner, and we'll transition into that right now. I got some questions about Dr. David Duke on why someone like him is essential. You have to have someone international. You have to have someone that's good at making presentations. You have to have someone that can play practical politics and that can play full spectrum practical politics in the blink of an eye. You got to have someone that can take over, run a Republican Party, or be thrown in a president. David Duke can do all those things. He's been in politics since day one. He's been in practical politics since day one. Perfect? No, I don't know anyone that's perfect that's been around for a long time. But when it comes to practical politics, he's very, very good, because he's always talking about the genocide of the white rabbits. He's not talking about in the way I am, necessarily, but he will point out the genocide over and over again. He will also name our enemies. Our enemies, of course, in this instance, is basically a crew. It's a crew, and they're by and large all Hebrew at the top of Anglosphere. In fact, you can't operate in Anglosphere without getting around them, so someone's got to name them. And when it comes down to Zionism, there are two types of those. Those say you got to defeat Christian Zionism. Well, Christian Zionism is they take their orders from basically all Jewish supremacists. You know, and so there's another philosophy that you take the head off the snake and it just withers away, or you isolate the head and you keep pounding it. But David Duke does this on an international level, and he's done it with books, and he's always out talking, and always he's always on message. He's always on a consistent message. He's always talking about Jewish supremacism. He's always talking about European children get this attempt to wipe them from the face of the planet. He's talking about it. He names names. He quotes them. And those are the easiest quotes to get, is the ones from Hebrew leadership. And, of course, that's why he's necessary. He plays by the rules. He plays by the rules in front of him. He doesn't play necessarily by the rules he wants to play by. He plays by the rules he has to play by. But, you know, anytime you have someone like that, they're extremely critical, because they could, in the blink of an eye, run a Republican campaign for president or be thrown into office. He could, in the blink of an eye, Il Duce or something like that. You know, that's why he's critical. Why does our enemy go after someone like that? Because he's that critical. He's that critical. They know that. They had a window of opportunity. I was asked, basically, why someone like that would go and disrupt an Amran meeting, and I don't think he meant to disrupt anything. He's just calling his enemy out. You have to have someone do that. Yes. Your enemy was going to give you white nationalism. They were going to give you white nationalism and take it over. They were going to isolate two branches of white nationalists, make one pseudo-Christian Jewish, basically Zionist, if you will use any other word, and then they were going to isolate and then call the others Nazis and so on and so forth. What would they do then? They don't care about Africans. They don't care about Mexicans. They're not idealistic. You just think they are. They play a simple game. Me a Jew rabbit, you a Jew rabbit. I play a simple game. Me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit. My game does not coincide with their game if they step outside Israel. It just doesn't work that way. Can't have them trying to hijack a bunch of energy. I can't have them trying to dominate an energy flow. Dr. Duke can't have that. Can't have them taking over Amran meetings and then making it their own. Can't have that. Can't have that at all. Because what they were going to do, and I'm going to prove this to you in the next one, is they pretty much, the elites have sold out Africans. The Africans are over with. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you a wide sky and some what you see is what you get stuff. They pretty much sold them out. They can't operate with them. On the other hand, the Eurasian stuff is red hot. Yeah, they're going with that. European and Asian stuff, those numbers work for them. That's what they're going with. So what they'll do, they needed a healthy racial identity, so they were going to gear you up. Take over white nationalism, gear you up, have you go against Islam. They don't care about Mexicans. They don't care about anything, but they got to isolate Islam. They can't isolate Islam without a healthy racial identity, so they were going to run that. They were going to give you that. And then you know what they were going to do? Once you defeated Islam, they don't care about, they'd welcome in the Chinese and then wipe you out. That's precisely what they're going to do, and they're still trying to run that angle on some level. I'm going to prove it to you. It doesn't matter. I mean, any day they'll be putting up the colors of the Chinese flag all over New York. You cannot let them control an energy flow. You can't let them hijack you again and again. Dr. David Duke is not going to allow that. If it makes him standing up at an AMRIM meeting and blocking them off, so be it. You have to have leadership to do that. You cannot play practical politics post September 11, 2001 and have anything to do with anything violent, and you cannot play any type of strategy at all without naming your enemies and confronting them. You can't. You can't defeat an enemy by playing defense and letting them run your stuff for you. No, you can't. You can't win. So he's critical in that regard, and thank goodness for him. He's critical at coming out and putting up a New Orleans Protocol. Can't have it. Can't have any contamination. Right now, there are all kinds of young men and middle-aged men, men entering middle age that have been framed on garbage. A lot of them are good people. A lot of it's post-September 11, 2001 stuff. Why? Because it's easily contaminated. If you have a membership group or you're involved in a membership group, next thing you know, some bonehead does something, problem, reaction, solution, and you're contaminated, and they throw you in jail for 30 years. You know, I'm guessing Matt Hale, that's precisely what has happened to these guys. Not that they're necessarily bad, but they had the illusion of free speech. Well, no, not necessarily. You got to act with a lot of decorum. But even if you act with a lot of decorum and you have a membership group, my goodness, you better watch it. They can run that problem, reaction, solution on stuff on you time and time again. They did that to David Duke right now in Czechoslovakia. Why didn't they throw him in jail? Because they couldn't. They couldn't. If you're playing by the rules, there's little things they can do other than harass you. Oh, they would love to throw Duke in jail. That's what that tax fraud convention stuff was over. In 2002, prior to them trying to take over white nationalists, and that's what they've tried to do, and they've tried to angle it ever since he stoned them at Amran. That's what he did. He stoned them. That's what he did. He caused a brouhaha. You have to do that, though. Ever since then, you know, they have tried that tax fraud conviction. That's precisely what that was all about. It was a target to one. Again, it's a no-lose situation for the government. If you can nail someone like that on any type of level that can play practical politics on an international scale, and he is international, he will go all over the world and speak for us. Overnight, you could put him in as president, and he can go across the world and work out problems with everybody but the Jews. But, you know, frankly, I don't know what we need them for. But, you know, we don't need the Jewish supremacists to run our stuff. We don't need them to run white nationalists. We don't need them to run Christianity or anything else. But he can do that. The only people he doesn't get along with are basically Jewish supremacists. There's some Jews that you know, understand that he quotes them. He quotes their leaders. But there was a tax fraud conviction that I've been asked about. If you read the wiki stuff, it's pretty much what you see is what you get. They said he made $60,000 and he only paid taxes on $18,000. There's all this stuff from an old girlfriend of his and all that kind of stuff like that. But let me explain to you something. What you see is what you get. If you go and you can go to the Smoking Gun and read all about it, if your enemy has anyone that's good at practical politics at all, because that's the game going, they definitely want to put you down. I don't care if you're a charismatic leader and you spoke for the National Alliance at one time. I don't care if you're running for dog catcher from the National Alliance. If you're good on a consistent message, they know you're dangerous with someone like with our group. They're going to target you. they're going to go problem, they're going to try to get something on you. But if you've only been in jail for 15 months on some tax fraud, that's because you're not guilty. Because if they can get you on mail fraud or tax fraud, well, they can usually put you away for 10 or 15 years. I know I don't think I'd have a problem doing it. It's not that difficult to do on tax fraud or mail fraud, or especially both combined. The reason? There's two reasons. There's two types of juries in America for all the foreign listeners. There's a jury of your peers. If you jaywalk in Iowa, if you're from, let's say, Germany, you're in Iowa and you're jaywalking, you may get a jury of your peers. No big deal. You'll get a fine, slap on the wrist, and you'll go. If you get caught for some weird violation, some tax fraud violation, some mail fraud violation, and I don't care what organization you're from, some membership organization, mail fraud charge, in somewhere like Louisiana or Hotlanta, you're not going to get a jury of your peers. Not even a federal court. You'll get a jury of your peers. And a jury of your peers is not necessarily going to find you innocent of anything. Why? Because you're not O.J. Simpson. A jury of your peers will find O.J. innocent. Yeah, they're not going to find David Duke innocent. So why would Dr. Duke have to plead to something like that? Well, it's not worth risking 20 years over it. Why would they press charges against Dr. Duke like that? Well, simple. They don't have anything to lose. One of the big control points for our enemy, and I got to give them credit, is the judiciary. They have the judges. Maybe you white nationalists, you membership organization guys, you know that already. They have the judge. I mean, they do. You're going to get in front of a jury of your peers and a jury and a judge that doesn't care, right? So you can't really risk it. If someone like that can get away with 15 months or even if, I don't care. You know, you have these guys out there that have been in a bar. Someone runs problem reaction solution and a lot of it's set up. I've talked about this. They'll run problems, reaction solution with some Mexican, run his mouth. The next thing you know, your normal instinct is defend yourself, and guess what? Boom, you're pleading to 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. Why? Because you can get 20. But let me explain something to you about Dr. Duke. Under full spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary, if I in 2002 can put Dr. Duke away on mail fraud, or filing a false tax return, I'm not letting him walk with 15 months. Why? Because I'm going to get him in front of a jury of your peers, and I can do that. That's easy to do in Hotlanta or he was in Louisiana. That's a joke. It's a joke in New Orleans. That's a joke in those federal courts, because they're going to find him guilty for the same reason they found maybe you guilty or maybe OJ innocent, right? But that's just common sense. So, I don't care. I actually don't care what Dr. Duke says to defend himself. I know my enemy. I know my enemy because you can watch them go after 90-year-old Nazis who can't walk for standing at some security checkpoint 70 years ago. You can watch them go after them. They will go after them. They will put them to jail for life. They won't let Dr. Duke walk the earth if they can help it. But they can't do anything if you're playing the game in front of you. If that's all they can do to you, and I don't care if you're a former National Alliance member who looked the other way at some crazy African came at you, next thing you know they're charging you and you get a couple years. If that's all they can do for you, you most likely did nothing wrong. Because if they can lock you up forever, they'll do it. That's their mentality. They don't quit. And the reason they want a Dr. Duke away, because they can't do anything with them, because he will walk in an Amarin, he will stone them. You have to have someone that like him that can do that. You have to. You have to have someone to play practical politics, full spectrum with you. You have to have someone that can play the whole gamut, conventional politics and whatever. He can do that. He's articulate. He's liked all over the world. And of course, he's in it because he loves his people. And that's, someone's got to love him. So that's why I don't have a problem with Dr. Duke. I'll support Dr. Duke for president because I don't distrust his loyalty. And I know what he's capable of doing, and I know what he does do. But if someone's going away for 15 months on any violation, and you're in a Duke category, or you're some local membership group leader, and you're good at articulating, whether you like Dr. Duke or not, he's very good at speaking, and a lot of people like him around the world. I mean, everyone likes him, except the Hebrews. Yeah, I mean, he's a very likable guy. I've never met him personally, but I know he's very likable because someone that's allowed to move around the planet like that is going to have to get along with a lot of people. But he names his enemy, and that creates enemies. And he's not going to let them hijack stuff because he understands them on a fundamental level. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Jews or my opinions on things. And but that's my question. If you're going to jail for 15 months and you're in a Duke type category, I don't care if you're running for dog catcher and you were a member of National Vanguard in 1986. If they can get you for something, mail fraud or some tax return, and you end up away for a year or something like that, it's because they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything, because if they had anything, they're going to press the gamut and get you in front of a jury of yell peers. And that works. It works for them. It just does. It just does. Now, if you do anything violent, it's a lot longer sentence. What's tragic about violence is because it's automatically under this hate crime stuff, and it's a mandatory sentencing and a mandatory plea and all that other kind of nonsense. And you have my sympathy. If he would have been hitting someone, it probably would have been an automatic 6 or 7 years or something. That stuff is ridiculous. But that's my thoughts on Dr. Duke and that so-called conviction. I'm guessing one day it'll be overturned. But let me explain something to you. What you see is what you get. If someone's spending all that time and money going after 90-year-old Nazis to lock them up for standing at a checkpoint because they can, but yet they're letting David Duke walk away after 15 months, it's because they can't do anything else. If they're letting him walk away in Czech Republic, it's because they can't do anything else. If you play the game in front of you, if you play the game like your enemy plays it, me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit. They play me a Jew rabbit. They can't do anything. You know, on top of that, you're immediately advertising you're on a baseball team. You're immediately advertising you're not hard-headed. That's just common sense to me. But if you're telling me he's guilty of this, he's guilty of that, he cut some deal, no. If he's guilty of what you think he was guilty of, they wouldn't have allowed him to cut a deal. I wouldn't. Would you if you're our enemy and know what I just told you there? Yeah, you stoned the Ameren meeting. They were going to take over white nationalists, and I'm going to go into that more in 15. But he knows your enemy, and he's necessary. And the good thing about Dr. Duke is, guess what? You can ride coattails on someone like that, because there's always room at the top. Yeah, you want to represent someone? Well, you ride his coattails. Right, you do it by being on a consistent message. He's on a consistent message with the Jews nonstop. Well, that's his job. He's also talking about the genocide against our people nonstop. That's his job. He's on a similar message, but in a unique way, because he's his own man. And I don't even think he knows I exist. I'm out here doing this, or that someone attached to. You know, I'm not actually officially affiliated with anyone. Bob Whitaker has probably not heard this particular one, and he may never, but he knows I'm doing my job. It's my race. It's my job to do what you can for your own race. But I was also asked questions about Don Black. Apparently, Don Black, who I don't know at all, I don't know anything about him, his son got screwed over in an election, but that's full spectrum practical politics. Went over this, totally screwed over. His son won, but they wouldn't let him sit down. Well, more than one can play this game. But there was some Operation Red Dog where Don Black went down there, and they called it the Bayou of Pigs. It was 1981. A couple of mercenaries went down there to apparently... Dominica, in the Dominica, let's look what they're saying on Wiki. I'm going with Wiki. I'm going what you see is what you can get on Wiki, and Wiki is not that accurate for our people in any way, shape, manner, or form. Anyone in our race that ends up in Wiki as a white nat or any racialist at all, you're going to get screwed. So when you talk about Operation Red Dog, and I got asked a question about Don Black, how could he be so stupid, yada, yada, yada. Operation Red Dog, apparently they were going to go down to Dominica. A handful of guys were going to go down to Dominica, and put Prime Minister John Patrick back into power. Yeah, John Patrick had a big military crew down there, and they were going to go down there and put him back in power. Now, how could a handful of white guys put an African, big African chief back in power? Well, it's pretty easily done. It's done all across Africa all the time. Is it necessarily illegal? You don't want to get caught doing that. But there was a statement that, why would he be so stupid as to go down there to Dominica? Because if you know anything about the Caribbean, if you know anything about Caribbean and that whole entire area, that is the main island, Dominica. And why would someone want Prime Minister John Patrick back into power? Why would a handful of guys participate in something like that? Well, for probably a variety of different reasons, but, typically they would want him back in power for the same reason whoever rolled on the deal didn't want him back in power. You know, let me go right in front of your face today. There were some different mercenary groups hired privately, and they're always hired privately. Anytime you see an Operation Red Dog like that, you're not going to go in there and put Prime Minister John Patrick back into power and help his crew do that without support from someone at the CIA or some group somewhere. That's just the way that works. But when you see these guys going Zimbabwe and Mugabe, there's been mercenary groups that go in there and get caught. They're never caught by Mugabe. They're caught by the Chinese. Why? Because Mugabe's a Chinese boy. Now, why would groups in Anglosphere want Mugabe out? Because he's China's boy. You understand how that works? But they're not busted by Mugabe. Mugabe's not that smart. The Chinese are pretty clever in there. The Chinese are in there with their black soldiers, training them, so on and so forth, running things. And look it up. But that's how that works. They're always sponsored. All these mercenary groups aren't on their own. I mean, they're on their own if they get caught. You know, those mercenary groups, those white mercenary groups in Zimbabwe that were after Mugabe and whatnot, they're on their own if they got caught, just like any other African republic or banana republic. But generally, they're sponsored. And in this one, you know, sponsored, they're talking about he was sponsored by the CIA or some elements of the CIA, and then the FBI rolled on him. Typically, the FBI wouldn't roll. That some other intelligence agency didn't want John Patrick back in there, and they rolled on him and reported him to the FBI, and the FBI comes in and arrests him. That's how that works. I don't know the whole story about it, but why would he be crazy enough to go in? Well, he's not crazy enough to go in and do it. I mean, if you had a handful of guys, nine white men or something like that, trying to take over Dominica and put in a white president and ethnically cleanse all the blacks, that would be crazy. That sounds a little out there. But putting back in a prime minister a handful of mercenaries is done all the time. It just is, right in front of your face. They do it in a variety of different ways. But Dominica is very important to the Caribbean. So why would groups maybe in the CIA or anywhere want that? Want Dominica? Because it's very critical. Look it up. I mean, it's the most critical island in the Caribbean for many, many different reasons I won't go into. But why would anyone be crazy enough to do that? Well, because it's so important. That's why, I guess. But that doesn't mean he's crazy or stupid. Now, if you saw David Duke, if you saw a handful of white nationalists 20 years ago as young men go in there and try to take over Dominica, that ain't going to work because it's too critical. You know, if they're trying to support and bring back a John Patrick, who's a black man, and run a bunch of business deals for a group within the CIA or something like that, which is most likely what happened, who gets rolled over on by some network connected with, who knows, maybe the Mossad or something, who reports it to the FBI. The FBI agents want to make a name for himself, and they walk out and bust him at the last minute. You know, that's how that works. That's how that worked in Mugabe. You know, China walks in and reports it to another group, and they bust them within South Africa. A couple of their alliances in South Africa. That happens all the time. But as far as that being a stupid, no, Dominica's very, very important. Dominica's very, very important. It can be critical. Why they did it, I don't know. If I ever do an interview with with Don Black, I'll ask him what was their, obviously they're not doing it for no reason. You know, they had to have a plan, and obviously John Patrick had to be okay with that, because John Patrick at that time, if you look up him, he had a pretty big military network in there ready to come back. So who knows? Why would the CIA want, well, why wouldn't they? Dominica is very, very critical. Why would elements of the FBI, upstage elements of the CIA or the German intelligence or something like that? Well, you know, one end doesn't know what the other ends are doing, and you're assuming they agree on anything. You assume a lot. These government agencies are massive. You know, half of them don't even know who works for them, that type of thing. It's the way it works. But for every reason, for every yin, there's a yang. You know, you got to take it for what it's worth. If you don't like Mr. Black, I don't know him one way or another. But that Operation Red Dog, that doesn't reek like anything stupid to me at all. It reeks like someone in the CIA wanted John Patrick back into power, and they had a couple guys to go down there and do it, part of a network, and then it got upstaged by another network. It happened to some very bright mercenaries out of South Africa and certain places in Africa. It's happened a couple times. Why? Because the Chinese don't want them in there. Why? Because they're not Chinese. Well, that's the way it works, isn't it? They play that me a Chinese rabbit, you a Chinese rabbit. But I don't know. I'll ask Don Black about it if I ever interview him. But that's a mini sermon on Dr. Duke. You have to have someone like that. You have to have someone like that on your side, because he can play full spectrum practical politics. You could throw him in. No problem. He's an international leader. No problem. He can give a speech. No problem. He plays by the rules. No problem. He's on a consistent message, night and day. Well, you don't have to be on the same consistent message, but you can ride his coattails. And obviously, if you've been around that long and they can only bust you for something small, I don't care what group you're in. If you're playing me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit, you've been around for that long and they can hardly bust you for anything, well, you're doing something correctly. You're doing something correctly. Because those War of the Flea, War of the Mies guys, those guys that sit around and read Louis Beam, they don't join groups and they don't run their mouths. If they do, they end up in jail. Why? Because they immediately associate it with someone. They will contaminate them very quickly. And that's the problem. That's the problem with that in general. I can't even be associated with that in any way, shape, manner, or form for the same reason Dr. Duke can't. It's another side of the spectrum. That's a different channel. I play practical politics. I play the game going. But you have to have someone on your side playing the game going, and you have to go totally on the offense when it's time to go on the offense. And you do it with a consistent message across the board. It crystallizes the network. It crystallizes the whole network, whether it's Radical End or the Dealing Steel End or anything else. It actually does. It crystallizes the whole thing, but you have to have that. If you don't have a Dr. Duke doing that, well, you're missing a whole end of the spectrum. If you don't have someone willing to travel and give a speech outside the Duma and sell books in the Duma, well, someone's got to do that. Someone has to be that leader. Someone has to be there because there's many ways to go at an enemy, and you don't leave an angle open. You certainly have to have someone playing the game going. Playing the game next week, next month, or way may half of next year is a waste. You just can't do it like that. You know, you cannot operate like that. The most frustrating thing for the old timers is the demoralization. Most of you have seen demoralization just fall to pieces in the last year and a half. We're 15 years. I've explained this to you. It's a magic how this stuff works with the new media. And something like the internet is so dynamic, it just destroys. Everything in front of you is just being destroyed. Well, it wasn't ours to begin with, so that's fine with me. I feel bad for a lot of these old-timers, even someone like Dr. Duke, who's seen, you know, New Orleans and whatnot back in the heyday, back when everything was all white, nice, and I never saw that. You know, I saw everything destroyed, so I don't really... You know, regret is always useless to me, but I don't really think in those terms. But I'll move on, and I'll talk to you about our enemy and my thinking on the Jews. But if I ever interview Dr. Duke, I'll go into some of those things. But that's right in front of your face. And in the next one, and these two will be 14 and 15 are going to be released really close to each other. I'm going to go into negative conditioning. It's how white rabbits condition, and I'm going to. Maybe I'll go into some topics that I'm getting requests on, some more off the wall stuff. But let's move on and let's talk about our enemies. Yeah, let's continue answering these questions that you're asking me. You're asking me about different POWs. I'm guessing you're in POWs, prisoner of war. You're talking about people in jail, people like the Dr. Duke said did time or asking for donations or something. Well, do your homework. You know, you're asking about Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner's admitted to spying on people. He admitted in court. Someone admits something into court, admits they're a traitor in court. I don't care what they tell you. Would the FBI, I don't know. If Mr. Turner was saying the NSA or the CIA recruited him against the FBI, that would make more sense to me. But I don't know. They'd have to come out and clear him someday. But he's admitted things in court that he was basically a traitor. You don't send someone like that money. That's kind of common sense until they get exonerated by the FBI or whatever deal he says he has. Something doesn't make sense with that. But what when you're talking about... the different POWs or people in jail. One thing you always want to do, you always want to write the story for the POW, you know. You want to make sure the POW has a few paragraphs attached to any name or what they're up for or what they've done, what they got screwed over on. You want to tell the story for them. You don't want Wiki telling the story. You don't want SPLC telling the story. Putting someone's name up and, you know... That's usually not enough for anyone you want to be supported in that's doing time. You should obviously have a story behind them, you know. Let them keep some kind of a blog or keep a blog form, or definitely write their history, tell people about them. The most difficult thing about sending people money is if they're in jail, is that's become an art form. And I couldn't even begin to tell you how to send people money that are in jail for something stupid. But you're asking about Sean Walker. Well, let's look up Sean Walker. I have his wiki. He looks like a clean-cut gentleman. He actually has a website. Yeah, you see, this is what you want to do. You want to do what Mr. Walker did. You want to put up a website and say whatever, say the truth and give his story, or at least have some kind of paragraph. Well, he's getting out soon. But yeah, you could definitely support someone like that. It looks like he was part of the crackdown after. I've said before, September 11, 2001, they had a broad takeover. Our enemy took over everything for a short period of time. Of course, they spent all their capital very quickly, but they, you know, you had Cheney in there running things, and they were allowed to do whatever they want to, and they did problem, reaction, solution, right, left, and center. Why? Because their groups were splintered. They thought they needed white nationalism to take down Islam. You know, they come out with a positive racial identity and they just let you annihilate Islam, which would be pretty easy to do. You make it racial. But to do that, you got to give up Africans. They don't care about that. They're not idealistic. They know they can close pin you with the Chinese. I mean, there's probably white nationalists with Chinese girlfriends. Think about it. Those numbers work for them. Go to San Francisco. Look around at who's dating. They work for them very well. But to do that, you've got a close pen. Men like Sean Walker, you can't have something out him talking, because he could get on a consistent message very quickly and lead some group. In fact, he was leading a group. You've got to take him down by any means necessary. That's full spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary. It's dirty pool. It ain't nice. Not nice about it. He's saying they're a lie. They probably did. If he's getting out early, if he's up on any kind of violent offense, it's kind of like the Dr. Duke thing. If they say someone's guilty of mail fraud and tax evasion, and they're doing 15 months, it's because they're innocent. I don't care what some girlfriend says. I don't care what innuendo you hear about some gambling debt. Or I don't care how much garbage is involved. Just like Sean Walker, if they say he's going to serve time to July 13, 2013, but he's getting out on November 28, 2009, which is very soon. Yeah, it's very soon. He's got himself a Twitter. And Mr. Walker's probably not guilty of anything other than looking sideways at a Mexican or something. Which is what happened post September 11, 2001. Yeah, it was a totally different rules all of a sudden, and they wanted to clean out white nationalism, and they did. You know, they did. They put several different people in jail quickly. I don't know who they're targeting now, but it should be interesting to see what happens. Some of these. Again, I don't think they're targeting. They're not targeting the Dukes or anything like that. They're targeting some of the more hardcore groups. But they're always going to target them. They're always going to target anyone that has any connection to any type of dealing steel. But as far as the practical politics type guys, the Sean Walker is one that can go around the world and give a speech. Yeah, they're going to take you down. Sure, if they got to take over white nationalists, Mr. Walker's probably not going to cotton too much to Hebrews being white nationalists. But well, that's how they operate. Now you know that, but they were all keen on that. Why didn't they do it quicker? Why didn't they try things quicker? Well, they can't really agree on anything. They've allowed themselves to be divided. Yeah, your enemies have got a lot of weak points. So let's talk about our enemy for a few minutes. Judaism, most of you think Judaism is some 4,000-year-old religion. That's what they sell to Christians. Well, Talmudism is. The Talmud goes back to Babylon in some ways, and that's about 4,000 years, right? Their calendar goes back to Babylon. The Talmud goes back to Babylon. But Judaism is at best 1,700, 1,800 years old. It was created the day Christianity was created. What was Judaism prior to that? It was Talmudism. Talmudism was a big expansion religion in the Roman Empire. It's if you read like nationalsalvation.net or whittakeronline.org and you look up the Jews, you're going to see some interesting quotes from Roman historians. Yeah, there was no such thing as a Jew in Rome. There was no such thing as a Jew in Rome as we know it today. There was Talmudism, and Talmudism, one-third of the Eastern Empire was like Talmudic by conversion. They got all the historian quotes on that. A lot has come out. But Talmudism was run by a key group. The key group ran the top of Talmudism. They called themselves Jews. But it won't necessarily come from Judea. in my opinion, and it won't have anything to do with Judah. It'll have to do with some other something or else. You know, it'll have to do with some phrase like Sons of the U or something. But that's just my two cents. But in the New Testament, you know, they make a big deal out of Jesus confronting these Jews and kicking the money changers out of the temples. Well, in Babylon, this private banking, Babylonian banking, got started, which is kind of common sense in Babylon. And that's where private central banking, in my opinion, got started. And they were doing stuff in the temples, which just kind of makes sense. But this key group that was running Talmudism, very wealthy group, they called themselves the Jews, and that's what they're talking about. So what is Judaism today? Well, Judaism today is, you know, you got a handful that came into Europe and basically made Christianity. And now what's Christianity? Christianity would probably be the previous shamanic tradition. The previous shamanic tradition Talmudized into a mystery religion. Islam, of course, too, is a previous shamanic tradition, the Sulafis, and a bunch of other stuff Talmudized. The big problem with the Talmud is it starts out, you know, their God commands them not to to get up every morning and thank him that they're not a woman. You know, you got to thank God you're not a woman. Thank their God you're not a woman. That's very dysfunctional. That brought in a lot of dysfunctional behavior in Islam as well as Christianity, believe it or not. It's just Talmudized. I won't go into the previous shamanic tradition because that's a whole other episode, and that's kind of beyond the scope of practical politics, but it is within the scope of the Hebrews. You know, what they are is a wild collage. You have a group that will come in from the Middle East that will date a bunch of families that will go back to Egypt. The two big dates would be Babylon, right? That's where they got started, in the Hyksos of Egypt. I'd watch those two events. And coming into Rome and coming into Europe, they, you know, and then most of your modern Jews are converts. And you got a lot of Franz Kafka Jews. You know, Kafka's parents didn't like Catholicism. They wanted to be Protestant. They couldn't be Protestant because in a lot of European countries, you know, in Europe, you could either be a Catholic or a Protestant in any given country, but you can always be a Jew. You may not want to be a Jew, but you could be a Jew. Well, Franz Kafka's parents said, you know, we don't want to be Catholics. We're Protestants, so they couldn't be Protestants, so they just became Jews. You have a lot of that type of stuff. But there'll be a couple key groups, and they'll go way back, you know, and they're a network. And that's pretty much that. And they do have a good operating procedures. You know, the operating procedures are in the Talmud. And everything they go with is in the Talmud. I'm not going to go into breaking down the Bible as I see it, but that's the way I see it. I mean, I think the news is out. Talmudism was a big expansionary religion. They turned it into a minority religion and called it Judaism for Europe. I think they just, you know, they're always calling themselves something different. But their control group is there. Do they care about the local rabbi? No, I don't think the local rabbis have any power. They do what they're told, and people are supposed to do what the rabbis tell them. Now, who are the guys at the top? Well, there's a handful of key families, in my opinion. There's a book coming out by Mr. Farrell again. He's talking, because he reads ancient texts, he's talking about banksters from here to Babylon. That's an interesting book. Interesting book. He's going to talk about some stuff. He's going to talk about some of the stuff going on in Babylon. But most of these games have been going on a long, long, long time. And most of the problems we have doing this stuff is a long, long time. We're at the end of a very dark, dark time. And we've been coming out of it. And I'm going to go into that in the beginning of 15. I'm going to go into that. Instead of talking about light, I'm going to talk about this high tide coming. What else can I talk about? You know, you guys asked a question about supporting POWs. Yeah, just don't support traitors. Don't support someone who stands up in court and says, I'm a spy. that's not cool. Sending someone money in prison, I wish I'd give you advice, but that's an art form. Do your homework on a site and make sure you know about the people. You know, the easiest way to support anyone is to buy their book or something if you want to support them. I don't tell you. You know, I don't have any particular favorites other than the guys out front speaking. You know, there's two types. There's the type that'll look to engage in practical politics because that's more their personality, and there's the type that just dream of dealing steel like that cornmeal. And if they're smart, they're whistling that stuff in the shower and nothing else, because they got everything on lockdown now as we come into this this big scenario. The scenario is going to be a lot bigger than just a war, I guess. But what else can I talk to you about? I guess I'll end it with talking about some practical politics. I'll talk to you about controlling an energy flow. Controlling an energy flow. We are 15 years out under a new medium. The new medium is dynamic. It's an internet. You guys are seeing decay rapidly happen in front of you. You're seeing a lot of people question a lot of things. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I was asked about a question. What should you say when you asked if you're a racism? If you're a racist? Well, I don't answer self-referential questions because it's a loaded question. The approach I use is always the same, and it's the same approach I'm going to tell you to use, because I want you developing moral authority. If you're in Texas, you can say, I am a racist. You can't really say that and develop moral authority unless people respect the fact that you got balls or whatever. But if some kid hears you, that kid in Germany can't say that without going to all kinds of sensitivity training and stuff like that. That's a kind of waste of time. So what I do is a little more universal. It's also not self-referential, which means immediately you have moral authority over a group. And as soon as I'm asked if I'm racist, I'm going to demand that they define racism and then tell me why this so-called racism only exists in white children's homes, white children's schools, white children's churches, and white children's countries. They're going to look at me funny. I'm going to demand for them to define racism and tell me why this so-called racism only exists in white children's homes, white children's schools, white children's countries. I'm going to ask them again, define racism, and tell me why this so-called racism only exists in white children's homes, white children's schools, white children's countries, and only exists according to white people like you. And I may beat them up a little. I may call verbally beat them up. I may call them self-hating white people. Again, I'm gonna use basic humiliation tactics. And what they will do is they will do something stupid. They will try to define it. But you see, right now, you can dominate an energy flow because they've said your whole entire life that basically, only whites can be racist. Well, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. If they call me racist, I'm going to do that. In your opinion, I'm a racist. I'm going to rephrase it. In your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. But I'm never going to answer a question, am I a racist? Now, once they come back and try to answer that or do something stupid and they're going to define racism, I'm going to say, wait a minute, no one's flooding Mexico with non-Mexicans in some attempt to end racism by creating a blended humanity. No one's flooding China with non-Chinese in some attempt to end racism by creating a blended humanity. No one's flooding Saudi Arabia with non-Arabs in some attempt to end racism by creating a blended humanity. Only white children are being affected by this. Only white countries are doing this. Only self-hating white people like you are supporting this. It's genocide. And then they're going to say, oh, but Jesus loves everybody, and Jesus says we got to love everybody. I said, yes, ma'am, but you're missing my point. No one's flooding China with non-Chinese and saying, Jesus loves everybody. Because Jesus loves everybody, I'm going to create a blended humanity in only China. No one's flooding Africa with non-Africans and saying, you know what, Jesus loves everybody. Because Jesus loves everybody, I'm going to create a blended humanity in only Africa. No one's flooding Guatemala with non-Guatemalans and saying, you know what, Jesus loves everybody. Because Jesus loves everybody, I'm going to create a blended humanity in only Guatemala. Only white countries are doing this. Only white children are affected by this. Only white leaders are supporting this. It's genocide. Whatever she says, I'm going to come back with the same thing. I'm going to beat them over the head with a carrot. Now, the ideal is never to argue. I'm just going to dominate the energy flow. That's all I'm doing is taking what she's giving me and I'm putting it back out there. It is psychological warfare. That's all it is. It's just the basics. And that's my particular style. She comes back and she says, you know, anything she says, I'm going to point out the obvious. I'm going to say, yes, but you don't seem to be understanding my point. No one's flooding China with non-Chinese and saying, oh, you have yellow skin privilege. Because you have yellow skin privilege, we're going to create a blended humanity in only China. No one's flooding Africa with non-Africans and saying, oh, you have African skin privilege. Because you have black skin privilege, I'm going to create a blended humanity in only Africa. No one's flooding Mexico with non-Mexicans and saying, you have Mexican skin privilege. Because you have Mexican skin privilege, I'm going to create a blended humanity in only Mexico. Only white countries are doing it. Only white children are affected by it. Only white leaders are supporting it. Only self-hating white people like you love it. It's genocide. And if they ask about genocide, I'm going to quote them. You can quote them the Wiki on genocide. It's very simple. The law is very clear, Post 48. Very clear. I already gave you that. But that's really simple. It's a simple technique. It's psychological warfare. Why does it work? It works for the same reason. You're not going to change the person you're in front of. They're usually too far gone. But what you're doing is developing moral authority. This would not work 10 years ago. This would not work 5 years ago. It works right now. These are simple techniques. You can make them your own. You can do just what I did. You can do it all day long. But I'm not going to give them that. I'm not going to answer some stupid question about I am racist. Anti-racism is simply a code word for anti-white. Why should I be anti-white? I'm not going to give them that. Second, I want you always developing moral authority to it for a group. You may be some leader in California and USA, some little German nationalist may be watching you in Germany. You may develop rapport with him. You don't want him saying, I am a racist, and going to who knows what can happen to some kid in Germany. You know, you need to think about that type of stuff, because there's only a handful of leaders, and there only ever will be a handful of people step up, and you've got to watch who's watching you across the world. But this stuff is duplicatable wherever you're at. You're never going to go in jail. I can show you. We can show you on WhitakerOnline.org on the blog. You can show you how to say anything you want with decorum and just be ruthless with it in front of a camera and be fine. You can do that all day long and own a show. But I never want you answering loaded questions. To answer a loaded question, you got to make a self-referential statement. Making a self-referential statement, sometimes you can have moral authority, but everything we do is very dynamic. I want you always developing moral authority. And if you're good at talking, well, then you should develop moral authority for a whole entire group by speaking for them directly or indirectly. When you're doing what I just did, every white person in the area will listen and will respect you. They'll respect you because you're defending them. You're defending them verbally. It's basic psychological warfare. It's a na-na-na-na-na-na. A lot of the old-timers can't stand it. 13-year-olds tend to be good at it. Yeah, it tends to be good at it. They're simple repeating things. Africans are good at it. Africans are like parrots. But that's that. That's a lesson on practical politics. This stuff isn't difficult. What's difficult is timing and having someone intelligent show you how it works and put you on a consistent message. But if you're on a consistent message, you advertise something. You advertise it very clear, very loudly, you know, and that's what's important with this. And this is the end of 14, and feel free to email. It's whiterabbitradio.net, and feel free to email whatever questions you want. 15 is going to come out very quickly, and 15 is going to be a little off the wall. I got three types of listeners, apparently, two contradictions. One type of listener tells them that I'm being too condescending. They want to get blown away. They like it when I talk about highbrow concepts or whatever they call highbrow. I have another listener that says, I'm going like Chuck Roy, you're going over our head. You're going over our head. You got to slow down. But both of them have something in common. Both of them get what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to add something to the conversation. Can't have everyone talking about the same thing. But it's kind of funny, two contradictions in listeners. Some people think I'm going over their head and I need to slow down. Other people think I'm being too condescending. In other words, you know, hit us with something heavy duty. We like it when you go, you know, everyone has something that they like about, which is good. I guess I got getting a broader audience. There's also a third type that likes that mysticism stuff, and that's where I'll go down again. I don't have any problems about talking about anything you want me to talk about, or at least send you down a legitimate path of information. And hopefully most of the stuff I've done to make sense. We will probably be redoing some talking points and something like that, making it better. I can make stuff a little bit better and putting it online. I know I've given you several different techniques of how to stay on message and very simple stuff. Most of the guys using it and gals using it, the ones that have my email address, and it's pretty easy. Just go to whiterabbitradio.net and we'll get the email. Most of them that get it say that, you know, it will work because it's geared to work. It works for the same reason most smart people don't think it works. It works because the masses are asses. You know, and this time, you know, you're dealing with our people, and they're heavily demoralized. But coming out of it quickly, and that's all you're doing is engaging in psychological warfare on their behalf, and it's as simple as repeating stuff. It's monotonous. It's monotonous. That's all it is. That's all a consistent message is. You listen to Dr. Duke talk about the attempted genocide against his people and about Jewish supremacism. You heard one speech, you heard 100, but that's all you got to do. That's what it is. It's a consistent message. Why? That's what's called a consistent message. You're always on the same message. And you can develop your own and use this your own way. But But we'll continue this conversation on 15. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.